Okay, we are in the Maimar HaShlishi, Chaf Aleph, on page 60 in our print. Page 61, is it? Okay. Yeah, I'm going to start again from the sentence on page 60. Just to recall what we're in the middle of, we had said, the Kuzar had really pointed out that the reference to Olam Haba, to wanting an Olam Haba experience, is found in Maidim. Then we say, that's really a tefillah to connect to the Beis HaMikdash. I want to go back to page 60. V'heyech atasavar shahaya bizman hatzlocha hahu. Okay, in here, I think we did a few of these lines, but I want to read it together and you'll see what he's saying. On page 60 in our print. A lot of times the Kuzari says words, you don't know where he's going until he finishes getting there. It's Chaf Aleph, it's about halfway through Chaf Aleph. How do you think life was at the time that Beis HaMikdash stood? How do you think it was when Klal Yisrael, the descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, following their ways, they lived together, they spoke properly, and the righteous person was pure, and his soul was not sullied by the bad thoughts and bad ideas, bad speech, I'm talking the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, the people are pure. They give their tummy, they can't come in. Because of a desire to connect to holiness. So someone who lived in Yerushalayim, if you live in Yerushalayim, especially in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, who did you meet? You only met people coming to Yerushalayim to visit the Beis HaMikdash. Moments of holiness. Mekayinim, Levim, Nazirim, Chachamim, Shaiftim, Shaitrim. Or when it came to three regalim, Yira Hamoin Chaygei Bekarina beside the Bishalash Bam Bashana, you'd see the people rejoicing. Venenu Shemaya Kiyim Shir Hashem. All you hear is singing to Hashem. V'loy Raya Kiyim Malachas Hashem. You see nothing more than Hashem's work. Koshkenim Yekayne Levi Yichya Melechem Hashem. Ayn Beis Hashem in the Urav Kishmuel. Venenu Tzarech Levakoshes Hamichya. Someone who lived there didn't have to support himself. What do you think about him? What's he saying? He's saying, when you say, this is what you're talking about. You're talking about connecting to a time and a place where Yidden lived in Yerushalayim, in Kedusha, free from Tumah, whether it was in their behavior or in anything they did. And that connection is the connection of the Pasuk Ritzai. So when we daven that bracha, we should be dreaming of such a beautiful time. I think when we say Atavar Chatonu and Yantif, people feel it. Atavar Chatonu Mikolo Amo Haftei Sanu. We think about Yantif and being on the regal. I once saw in the Ben Ishchai, he asks why when Yantif is Shabbos, we say the Yom Tov Shemayin Esrei, Atav HaChatonu, as opposed to, we say the Shabbos Shemayin Esrei, Yed Yom Tov. Why do I say the Yom Tov Shemayin Shabbos? He says, because the Yom Tov Shemayin Esrei is just so geschmack. It's so wonderful. The language, Atav HaChatonu, Malchum, Haftai Yisar, Ritzi Sabar, Ram Tav HaKal Shayis, it's just such a beautiful language that we want to grab it as often as we can. So when it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, we grab it also. So that idea, that feeling, is his feeling here in Ritzai. And with this, he completes the first part of the Maimar Shlishi, which is this discussion of davening, of brachis and davening. He said, what's a chassid, somebody who's disciplined, and that discipline he took into davening. And the Kuzar ends sort of this discussion. Amar HaKuzari, Zais Madregas HaTachlis, says, you're right, that's the ultimate Madrega, Einach Reki Madregas HaMalachim. If you could picture Jews in the time the Beis HaMikdash stood, in Yerushalayim, B'kdusha V'tahara, that's the ultimate level. Ubedin mekavim, and it's proper that we hope l'nevuah mekamas akibul hazeh choshkei im yomotzei hashchina. Certainly, we should hope for it. Ukumayzais tiavai deshein tzarich ima lifrei shulihin hazer. With this, he completes this section. Now he goes into a new discussion, the Kuzar. And this is more typical. I chose the Maamar HaShlishi because the beginning of the Maamar HaShlishi talks about very practical things. I think it's called the Maamar HaMusar in some of the writings of that divide the Maamarim. V'ani Mevakish Imcha is a new question, a new discussion. This is more typical of the book of the Kuzari. The Kuzar now asks the Chacham, the following question. Now today, we talk about Reform or Conservative Judaism and Orthodox Judaism. So a stranger comes and says, well, what's the difference? So for a great period of time, the Karoim, the Karaites were really a group within the Jewish people by one name or another for well over 1,000 years that they were a part of the Jewish people and they kept Torah Shebiksav, as you know. The Gemara says that the parts that they kept better than the Orthodox. Those parts they kept very well.
Except it was distorted. They
put it between their eyes. Yeah. So the Kuzar is now going to say, how do you know that their avodah isn't good? That's what he asks. Now listen to what he says. Aniya bevakish mecha. You see, this is, it's printed all in one. This is really like a new section. אני מבקש ממך אתה שתבער לי קצת ביור במה שאצלכם, שאצלך בקרואים. That just found the Karoim among the Jews. כי אני רואה איסם. I look at them. משתדל מהוידה, יסמי הרבונים. Some of them are משתדל to do what they do more than the rabbis. ואני שמע את הנוסם, יסר מחריאיס. And some of their arguments have a more of a hachra, more of a feeling of justice. And certainly they fit better to the Torah. So he's going to answer. What?
Compelling.
More compelling to the language of the time. So the style of the Kuzari always is not to answer something directly, but to make like a philosophical answer is a global statement that compels a certain approach. And that's what he does. You know, you and I, if we asked about the Karaites, we would start bringing proofs that you kill a Tereshim except without Tereshim Aped. Nothing makes sense. What are tefillin? What do they look like? What color are they? You have no idea what they are. You need Tereshim Aped. That's not at all the approach that he makes. He makes a more general and global approach. He makes here 2 points, philosophical approach. Yeah, rather than a practical answer. So let's see how he addresses it here in Chav Gimel. He makes 2 points. And let's start from the first. Amar Achaver. I told you already. And there's an idea that he mentions earlier, first in the first Maimer and then in the second Maimer. And there he addresses the following question. The Kuzar says, look, I agree there's a creator, it's a God. And I agree we have to connect to him. Let's just let everybody connect his way, you know, sort of a humanistic approach. Everybody will do it his way. He says, let the Catholics do it their way, and the Jews do it their way, and the guy wants to think up his own way of connecting to God or connect to God. As long as you want to be close to God, why do you need a Shulchan Aruch? Why do you need rules? Why do you need all the minutia of halacha? Everybody, you know, should want to connect to the Creator. Why isn't that good enough?
It's a common idea today.
It's a very common idea today. Because today anything goes. There's no right and wrong. There's no black and white.
But the Torah compels you to do things.
So you see, in the Kuzari, the word Torah is meant to be an understanding of God's will. So let everybody connect as he wants. That's the question. That's the question he asks earlier. And listen to how he answers it. Amar Achaver, there are really 2 steps to the answer. Each is a very deep thought. I'm just going to learn it simply, but let's see what he says. Amar Achaver, like hiknamti lucha bidvarai. I've told you already. Ki haschachmus vahasvara b'tayra. The word Torah here doesn't mean the 5 books of Moses. Torah here means the book of God's will. It says hischachmus vahasvara b'tayra. And then umevi aratzer lakim. I'm going to try to prove to you that just sitting in an armchair and doing what you think is good and proper does not bring a person closer to God's will. V'im loy, if I'm wrong, then hamishanim v'anshe hakadmus u'balei haruchnias v'hanigzor, what's that word? V'hanigzorim b'horim v'sarfei b'neim b'eish v'shtadim l'skari v'loikim. Says, if I'm wrong, then everybody's right. Those who believe in kadmus, kadmus is the belief that the world always existed. Balei haruchnias are the meditators, are those who meditate and whatever brings them. V'hanigzorim b'horim, those who sit on top of mountains. V'sarfe b'neim ba'esh, those who burn their children in fire, and they really mean it as a sacrifice to God. V'shtadlus karav lekim, they are trying to draw close to God. Kavar amarnu. So he says, I maintain. It's not possible to do Ratzon Hashem unless it is Ratzon Hashem. You can't do God's will if God didn't will it. You can't sit back and dream up what it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. Avraham Avinu connected to God's will, not to his will or his interpretation of God's will. Yeah. And he says everything is precise. God has a precise shear, precise amount, a weight, a time, a place. And whatever is needed, dependent on the things that God wants us to do. And by doing them together, a person comes to the will of God. What he's saying is, you can't do the will of God without getting instructions from the Rabbanu Shalom in one form or another. And he gives an example from the Chumash. Kama shahaya b'maisa ha-mishkan, asha omar b'chol malacha mimenu. It says every time, every malacha, v'yas b'tzal asarin, v'yas kapayres, v'yas yiriyos, b'chol as machas mehen, kasher tziva Hashem es maishan. He made it as God commanded, didn't add and didn't subtract. Nothing in the Mishkan was made based on human logic, on our own thought. And there it says, and with that, the Shekhinah came down. And this was completed with the two parts that are the pillars of Torah. The instructions for life are a Torah from God. Has to be, the Torah has to be accepted by a faithful heart from among the people. There's an interesting chazal that he brings here in the footnote that the Karoim, or the Kutim before them, advised, when they wanted to disrupt the building of the Bayis Shedi, they gave the king advice, tell them they can do whatever they want, but they have to move it 10 feet to the left. But they build the whole Bayis HaMikdash, but everything, Chamei Shamas, Tanai Shinim Makam, Yesifo Yigru, Chamei Shamas. So let the Jews build whatever they want. Say the king wants it 5 amas off. You can't build a base of English if it's five amas, it's 5 inches off. You can't build a base of English. So that, this is the idea. The idea is that you can't, it makes no sense to do Ratzon Hashem, to connect to God without knowing Ratzon Hashem.
I think there's a waterproof. You look at the Chumash, every time the Kodesh Baruch Hu tells you about Karbanos, about Chagim, it says Vayidaber Hashem Amoshe Lemar, like hundreds of times.
Okay.
Because it is the specifics of what Hashem
specifically
wants.
Commanded. It's right. No question. It's like somebody asked for an explanation of what it means Arba Nichnesu LePardis. The Gemara says Dafyemi was there just a Yavamis ago. And Chagiga, so someone got up to him and said, I should explain to me, how do I explain it? What does it mean 4 people went into the paradise? You know, that refers to the great people who went into the mystical paradise. And what does it mean, Arba Nichnesu LePardis? If it's a good place, a good place. So the way I suggest it, to explain it to people who don't have a lot of a background, is like this. Let's say someone learns a Shev Shmeitzer. So like a Shmack, a Shev Shmeitzer, Svek Sveika, the Rambam, the Rambam. You have an immigrant from Russia, who totally believes in God all the way. An immigrant, Be'elikler Chumash. He says, explain to me the Shev Shmeitzer. Tell me, what's this Geshmack? You're learning Shev Shmeitzer. It's just simply not possible. It's simple that you can't, you just can't. It's just, it has no connection. The Pardis is the mystical aspect of Torah. It's true. Everything is true there. It just simply doesn't fit. It doesn't fit into the living in the world Hagashmi, in the physical world, to take the mystical ideas as a guide for driving through this world. Mystical ideas are mystical ideas. They're true ideas, but it just doesn't fit. It's like a person goes to an orchard. It's a beautiful orchard. He says to his wife, you know what? We go to botanical gardens all the time. It's so nice. Let's live there. Let's live there. Why do we have to go home? Let's just live there. So, you know, it's a beautiful orchard, but you can't live in an orchard. It just simply doesn't fit. Living is living, and an orchard is an orchard. Abba Nithasula Paradis, they went into an orchard. It's nice to go into an orchard. It exists. You pick its fruits, and it tastes good, and it smells nice. It's beautiful. But you can't live there. It's just different. You just can't, it's not the way life is in this world, simply. When a person decides he wants to do God's will, and he has a real tshuka to do God's will, and he has a feeling to do God's will, if he doesn't have the discipline of a rule book, it just simply can't be. It can't happen. It just doesn't work. It's like living in an orchard. It's like, it's nice, it's beautiful, but it's not. It's like, and I don't mean to label anyone, but you'll understand, it's like, I was at the Kaisel, on a Friday night with some young men who were just from our Sameach, who were just connecting. And they have there a beautiful Kalbach minion. They have many minyanim like that. It's a minion of guys that were dancing and singing. And so on the way home, someone asked me, why is it these guys, they really mean it. You can see it on their face. They really mean it. So they asked me, why is it that tomorrow morning, he knows the crowd, says tomorrow morning they don't get off the chakras. And they have a hard time keeping Shabbos, and they're stuck with drugs, but they really mean it. Like, they really mean to connect to God. Why, like, what's going on? You know, you're at the castle with them, and they're as close to Rabbi Shalom as anybody there. What's going on? So I told them that, you know, you can have a rocket. If it doesn't have a guidance system, it's going to do damage. The tshuka is there. Without a rule book, the tshuka makes no sense. It just simply doesn't work. It's not deep. It's simple. It doesn't work. Without a system, it doesn't work. You can't do Ratzon Hashem without a system, without a guidance system. That's what he's saying. He's saying is, it has to be a guy. So we have a rule book. The rule book is Kashetziva Hashem Esmaish. Now, it doesn't answer the Karaites yet, because the Karaites claim to have a rule book.
That's right.
Yeah, okay, so we're not done yet.
But the biggest problem, because they're saying it's just the opposite. They're following and you're not following.
Okay. All right, so his idea, we understand. He's going to explain more about this. But like I said, there are two points that he makes. But his first point is you need a rule book. Without rules, it doesn't work. You pick what you want, take what you want, choose what you want. It just doesn't work that way. And he says, "Va'mishkan haya mimitzus alakim va'yamaseu mikol hakol." It had these two conditions. It was God's command, executed faithfully by the people. K'mashenemer me'ez kolish she'advenu libay b'tachlis hachefitz va'aratzin, with the ultimate desire of his chayiv hashlamas. Okay, so as I said, there are two points he makes. This is point number one. The second point, which is even a little more, all these thoughts, they're just thoughts that we don't usually talk about. And his second point he's going to make, Kavar Demisilach, is sort of the second connecting point with which he finishes his thought about how a person has to pursue doing Ratzon Hashem. Ratzon Hashem, by definition, is the will of God. The will of God, somebody has to tell you what he wants. It's not what you think he wants. And okay, so we're going to see the Kavar Demisilach here on page 64, Bezus Hashem, tomorrow night.